Good morning. This is Sunday, November 7th, 2021. We have arrived at the final chapter in A Parenthesis in Eternity. Chapter 33, The Inner Universe. And it is my hope and prayer that you feel this inner universe before this talk is over. That you actually feel it. Let's just dive right in. Oh, I'm assuming that you had your meditation from 11 to 11:15 a.m. And so you've had some quiet time, so you're receptive. Be receptive, and it's just possible that 168 of you will hear 168 different talks. Okay? So, every spiritual aspiration, every effort in the direction of God realization is a step forward out of the parenthesis into the full and complete circle of eternity. As we sow, so shall we reap. And if today we are sowing to the spiritual awareness of life, the parenthesis is becoming fainter and fainter. Now what does that mean? That means if you're dwelling in the spirit, maybe you're having 12 meditations a day, short meditations, maybe you're up to 30. Maybe you have a long meditation at night. But while you're dwelling in the Spirit, you're sowing to the Spirit, which means the Spirit will manifest as you. And in that way, the parenthesis, the life between the cradle and the grave, becomes fainter and fainter, and this spiritual life becomes plainer. He says, but if we are sowing only to physical comfort, health, wealth, and position, is it not inevitable that we will remain imprisoned in the parenthesis, reaping both material good and material evil? Yes, that's what you have in the parenthesis, is duality, the opposites. If we are devoting ourselves to an inner spiritual practice, no one can interfere with it because no one knows that it is going on. As I said last week, I think it was, when I invited Ray into my house, I said, Hi, Ray, come on in. Would you like a cup of coffee? But inside myself, as he was answering, I said, Father, how may I best be of service? Thy presence. So, Ray did not know I was doing that. Neither did the waitress at the restaurant, and yet they felt something, and I know they felt something because I saw Ray's expression as he was leaving. He was surprised that his problems had been met. And the lady at the restaurant, I ordered some food and I ordered a cup of coffee, and she brought me, in those days they automatically brought water with ice. And I took my spoon and put it in the water and took out an ice cube or two and put it in my coffee and stirred it so that I could cool it down. I didn't have to wait a half an hour to drink it. Okay? Now, she spotted me doing that from way across the dining room. I mean, way back there. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting there, probably had a book with me, And here she comes with a glass full of nothing but ice. I said, thank you. You see? They feel it. People feel it when you're doing this, even if you say nothing. All right. He says, nobody knows what is going on in our mind because we are praying in secret. We are living in an interior world, an interior universe. The Christ Spirit is right here where you are and where I am. This presence of the Christ is in the midst of our being. It is filling our consciousness. We do not have to reach out for it. We do not have to think. All we have to do is to be still and let it talk to us from within our own being. Now, if you're brand new or fairly new to the Infinite Way, you can't do that yet. You want to do that. You believe it can be done. You believe others are doing it. But you're not able to do that yet. But that's okay. It'll come. Follow the directions. There's an order of books. And on my website, you can get, under text files, you can get the order of books that Joel gave. Follow that order of books. And the first thing that you will know is you will have found contemplation. You take a scripture or some passage out of one of the books, a scripture from the Upanishads or a scripture from the Holy Bible or whatever holy scripture you're reading, and when you take it into your interior universe and contemplate it, you will find that it leads you to a period of quietness, a period of stillness. And with practice, you'll be able to maintain that stillness for, oh, say, 30 seconds. And then you'll learn how to do that for a minute, or 2 minutes, or three. Now, that's all you ever really need, is to become receptive to the spirit within you, to the I within you, by maintaining the silence. Silence, remember, is not an absence of sound. You can be in the silence in the middle of New York City. I used to do it all the time in the middle of Los Angeles. So, silence is an absence of self and self-thought. Now, you may get to where you can maintain silence for an hour. That's beautiful. Do that when you can get away from everybody, perhaps at night if you wake up. Or perhaps first thing in the morning if you're an early riser. But the point is that contemplation will lead you naturally to meditation, which is being receptive and standing still or sitting still in the silence. Okay, here we go. We're getting to the meat of this book already. If it is love that seems to be lacking in our experience, we do not look outside our own being for it. For even if we seem to find it, we will be disappointed. Yes, it won't last. It will be part of the temporal universe. All we have to do to find love is to turn to this great spiritual realm that is within us. And there, divine love has its abode. Go within yourself, rest there, acknowledge its presence, pray that it reveal itself to you. We're speaking of love now. Invite it to flow out from you, and then give action and expression to it by letting that love pour. pour out to your friends and your enemies, to your nation's friends and your nation's enemies, to men of good will and to men of evil will. Open your heart, embracing the whole world, and say to yourself, love, flow out. Flow out to the saints to support them in their activity. Flow out to the sinners to cleanse and purify them. Flow out to the tyrants to soften and give them mercy and justice. Now, I don't know how it is in your house. In my house, we pray for our enemies. When there is a bombing by a terrorist, if it's something that a terrorist left behind, like a briefcase, we pray for that terrorist. Not that the terrorists succeed and live happily ever after, but that the terrorist sees the error of his ways. You can't change something by force. You have to go within. Change yourself, and then your outside changes. That's what he needs to learn. So we pray for the enemy. We pray for the people that were injured. We pray for the people that are going to be injured when the U.S. retaliates. You see? There are all kinds of opportunities to pour out love. One time I was in a position in my life where I was working so many hours. I'm going to tell you this. This is a secret. Don't tell anybody else. I was managing a drugstore, and it was in the height of the holiday seasons. And that's one of the hardest things you ever have to do, because not only do you have to unload the truck for whatever you've ordered that week and put it all up on the shelves and put prices on it, but you have to make sure the shelves are neat. You have to make sure the floor is clean. You have to make sure there's no candy wrappers where people have eaten candy bars inside the store and left the wrapper without paying for it. You have to keep the restrooms clean. You have to change a whole row of summer things, such as swimming items. You have to put all that in boxes, mark what's on it and how much is on it, and put it up stairs where it can stay until summer. And then you have to put all the Christmas stuff out, and you've got ornaments, and you've got stockings, and you've got knickknacks, and you've got light bulbs, Christmas lights, all that stuff. And then you have to set up a display. And then you have to make sure that the carts are brought back inside the store. And all of that while you are getting calls on the PA system of people saying, I need a price check on 14. I need to know, I've got a problem with the register. I need some help. The pharmacist may say, I need some help here in the pharmacy. We have to go back and help. Someone else may call out, I need a check approval, and you have to go look at the check. And it's Christmas. And you look at the check, and you look at the people. And the check has a number 100 on it. In other words, it's the very first check. And you know you're going to get burned. You're looking at these people and you know, you've been through this before, there's no money in this account. And you have to decide, do I okay this check because it's Christmas? Or do I deny this check? Because the district manager is going to come around the store and ask you about this. If you do this wrong, I guarantee you he will notice. So you have all that going on, and you work 2 days a week two of your 5 days are 14-hour days. You're working a 60-hour week. Not only that, sometimes you're sleeping in the middle of the night and you get a call from the police and they say your alarm has gone off and you have to meet the police down there at the store and open the door, turn on the lights, and the police look all over, come back and tell you it must have been a mouse. I don't see anybody. And it's 4 a.m. and you lock up and go back home and try to get some sleep. So that was life as a manager of a drugstore. However, I was still trying to practice these principles. And I asked myself, how can I pour out love? And I got an idea. Now, don't tell anybody about this, because this has been a secret. Every 2 weeks I would get my check cashed and I'd be affluent for a few days. And I would take the phone book out of the city that I lived in. I open the phone book, close my eyes, turn a few pages and point. And then when I looked, I had a person. And I copied their name and their address onto an envelope and put a stamp on it and put a $10 bill or a $20 bill inside that envelope wrapped in a note. And the note said, "Because I love you." And I closed the envelope, sealed it, dropped it in the mailbox out front. And I suppose it'll be until I'm passing on before I see how that affected the people that got it. But anyway, because I didn't put any return address on it. And I don't think I put it in the mailbox out front. I think I was a little bit more sneaky and I mailed it somewhere in the middle of town so that they wouldn't know who mailed it. So now you know. But anyway, the point is that I went inside my house and I found a way to pour out love. And there's another way that I found it, but I won't tell you about that right now. Oh, why not? I'll tell you about it. Okay. There was another manager working there. A fellow named Raphael. And I like Raphael. I still like him. We're still friends. It was during the Christmas rush when all these things were going on, and he was in the middle of putting up a display. And I came in, and the first thing I did was use the bathroom. And somebody had been in there, some child had been in there, and oh my God, what a mess! What a mess. It seemed there was no area, no wall, no ceiling that this child didn't get a mess on. They must have been flipping things around and playing and drawing on the wall. I don't know what they were doing, but this mess was horrible, just horrible. And I walked out towards the other manager, and he said, I know, it was on my shift, so I'll take care of it. And he was kind of irritated. We were kind of irritated with each other because it's kind of like a marriage and we were together so many hours that we were starting to bother each other, irritate each other. Anyway, it hit me. I know how I can pour out love. And I went into that bathroom and I made it spit shine. It was beautiful. Got rid of all the mess, wiped down all the surfaces, cleaned them, put antibacterial spray on them, sprayed some nice smelling spray in there, and I came out and I didn't say anything to Raphael. I just went about my business. I was doing something on a shelf, and he walked up next to me, and he said, "Oh, my God, thank you so much." It was wonderful. He got a Christmas present that he wasn't expecting. Well, Raphael and I became so close that he was the best man at my wedding to my wife, who I'm married to now. He was the best man 32 years ago, almost 32 years. So you see, there are ways. Don't tell me you're broke and you can't give anything. There are ways. Ask, go within. How can I pour out love? Father, pour out thy love. He says, here, love flow out, and the way will come to you. And when you pour it out, you will have let love loose in the world. And it'll be heaped up, pressed up, and running over, returning to you. After that day, I could do no wrong with Raphael. He loved me. And I don't know about those other people, but if it's true that you pay it forward, then maybe they also loved somebody or something. When you achieve the demonstration of freedom from within, you will experience it in the without. You see? But be sure that when you invite freedom to come forth, you are also willing to give freedom to those you hold in bondage. Even if you are holding them in bondage to the belief that they are human beings, give them their freedom. Recognize that nobody is a human being, but that God sits in the midst of every individual, past, present, and future. So-called living, so-called dead, and so-called unborn. You cannot have freedom unless you first give freedom. You cannot have love unless you first give love. You can have only what you are willing to give. What you hold on to, you lose. That is a spiritual law. This, which I'm going to read here, is from The Art of Meditation, from the chapter For Love is of God. He says, and this really hit me, when I read this, as I told you before, my wife, my first wife, had run off with one of our friends. And the two of them, she moved in with him. And so, my spiritual teacher of the time said, you can't get out of this problem by transferring your feelings to another woman. He said, that's not love, that's dependency. He said, you have to transfer your feelings to God. How? How do you do that? He said, there's a chapter for you in The Art of Meditation, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. So fine, I went and I took The Art of Meditation. I was hurting so bad. And I opened it to this chapter, and I said, this is the chapter. It said, the good of God flows to us through all who become a part of our universe. My teacher had told me that I have to transfer my love to God, and I didn't know how until I read this. To those who live in communion with God, serving God through their fellow man, the promise is literally kept. All that I have is thine. No longer is there a need or a desire for any person or anything. Everything and every person become part of our being. What we surrender, we have. What we hold in the grasp of possession, we lose. Everything we release, we draw to us. Everything we loose, we have. Everything we set free, we bind to us forever. Loose him and let him go. Let everyone be loosed in Christ. We trust everyone to the God of their own being. We do not hold anyone in a bondage to a debt of love, hate, fear, or doubt. We do not demand even love from anyone. We agree that no man owes us anything. Only when we do not feel a debt of obligation, and only when we hold no one in a debt of obligation to us, are we free. And do we set our world free? And so I decided to believe what Joel was telling me. I decided that the only way to love God was by loving His creation, for God and His creation are one. And so I threw myself into loving God in His creation. And that's why the waitress brought me the ice. She could feel it. And by the way, I loved within myself. I found out it wasn't necessary to have somebody in order to love them. And so I loved her from a distance, and I loved the man that she went with. And one day I got a knock on the door, and I opened it up, and it was the man she went with. And he apologized to me, and he said, "I'm so sorry. What I did was wrong." And he gave me a gift, which I kept until I wore it out. So you see, the universe gives back to you as you give this love. Don't tell me you're lonely. What you tell me when you tell me you're lonely is that you're not pouring out love. You can pour out love and gratitude to the sun for warming you, to the bushes for giving you flowers, to the beautiful cardinals we have in this part of the world. You can be a companion to a cat that wanders up on your property. You can be a companion to the rose bushes you have in your garden. There are ways to pour out, and you must find them, because if you want love and you want companionship, you have to pour out love and be a companion. And if you want supply and you want to be comfortable financially, you need to find a way to pour out supply. And if you want health and life, you've got to pour it out. And this we do by praying for those that need help in the area of health. Okay, so you can never get supply spiritually or in any other way. Supply is an activity of God. Supply is the gift of God. Supply is that which is embodied and embraced within God. And God is in the midst of you. Therefore, an infinity of supply lies within you. Don't tell me you haven't got any money to give away. Share some of your clothes. Give them to the Goodwill or the Salvation Army. Or give them to a church. Don't tell me you can't pour out. You can take and go to the grocery store and get some rolls of cookies and get some cookie dough and bring it home. If you're too lazy like me to make it, bring it home and chop it up and make cookies and put them in a little soft paper. I don't know what that paper's called. It's like tissue paper, but it's not. You wrap it around there and put a little bow on it, on a couple of cookies, and take them to your neighborhood geriatric home. And take them in there and pass them out. You want to see smiles on faces? Try that. We do that. We teach our foster kids that. There are ways to pour. You don't have to give away $100. But if you have $1,000 and it's sitting in the bank, yes, give away $100 to your favorite charity. Joel says we should give it to a place that's impersonal. In other words, to a place that we're not going to benefit personally by, you know, buying something. You know, sometimes you give to a church and they give you a book or a set of books or a series of talks or something in exchange. And I don't like that because that's still kind of like bartering. But if I can give to a place where somebody's made a talk and I can do it anonymously, I'll do that. If I can't do it anonymously, I'll write them and say, I don't want anything. I just want to bless you. Whether you think of supply in terms of love, of home, of companionship, opportunity, recognition, money, compensation, reward, the supply is within you, and it must flow out from you. And you must live your realization of its omnipresence by beginning with a penny, if necessary, and giving it to some impersonal purpose. Supply is omnipresent within you. Supply will never leave you nor forsake you. You can never go any place where supply is not. But if it's drying up, it's because you're not pouring, you're not giving out. You know, when a lake has a stream coming in, but no stream going out, that lake will become stagnant. Eventually the lilies and lily pads and ivy and whatnot will dry up and die. And then the ducks won't come anymore. And then the fish will die. And then you'll have a Black Sea. You'll have a lake that's unable to hold any life, because it didn't have an outflow. Yes, you have an inflow. It's pouring all the time. But the only way to prove that you have is to give some away, to create an outflow. You see that? That's how you prove, that's how I prove I have something, by giving some of it away. It's mine. And I prove it by giving it away. If necessary, you have to give forgiveness. You have to sit down and search your thought and see what or whom there is on the face of the globe that you are holding in condemnation, criticism, or judgment, and then forgive it or them. Forgive. Now, I was watching television and I saw where two terrorists in maybe they're freedom fighters, I don't know how they look at themselves, but anyway, two of them were driving a truck and they ran down people in the road, people walking on the sidewalk, people on a bicycle, which have nothing to do with any war. They're just walking. Some of them were senior citizens, and these two in the truck just ran over people until the police finally stopped them and probably killed them. Now you think of those people. Can you do this? Can you forgive them? Yes, you can. You can. If you recognize what the problem is. And the problem is they are not awake. They're dreaming. They're dreaming that their religion is better than anyone else's. They're dreaming that their religion is right and the rest of us are infidels. They're dreaming that there's a right and a wrong to religion. They're dreaming that we are, in the Western civilization, are going to spread our ideology throughout the world, and they disagree with it. So they're dreaming that they have to struggle and strive and kill others and die, sacrifice themselves in order to change the world. Nobody has ever told them that the real battle is within, that we change ourselves, we go within and begin to pour whatever it is we want, whatever it is we need, we begin to pour it out. And then it comes back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Now that's right out of Christ Jesus' mouth. And they've never learned that. So yes, I can forgive them for their ignorance. And I can pray, Father, enlighten them wherever they are now. Lift them up. Let them see the mistake they made. Without condemning themselves, let them see it. Let them strive to do better. You see? Now, I know, don't tell me, because I know, if you're one that had a relative that passed away on 9/11 in the Twin Towers, you probably don't even want to hear any of this, and I don't blame you. But remember what Joel said? He said sometimes he has to go to the Father and say, Father, I can't forgive them. I know I'm supposed to, but I just can't do it. I can't do it. Father, you forgive them. And then you go about your business. See, even that is forgiving, because you're turning it over to God. You're letting go. And so you're sowing the letting go. There is a presence within you that goes before you to make the crooked places straight. Your realization of it releases it. See? The inner realizations that you have pour out. This world is governed from within. This world, this outer world, is governed from within. Now he said it twice. You don't like the world you're in? Go within and change it within. Begin pouring what it is that you lack. And you will find a new world. Behold, I will make all things new, is the promise. But you have to go within and commune with this I and let it pour. The power is within you, and it is invisible. This world is invisible. Think about that. This world that you're walking in. Maybe you're walking across the room right now, listening to me and grabbing a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Or maybe an iced tea. Or maybe a soda. Or a glass of water. Or you're just looking out the window. This world is invisible. And when you know that, you can go within in the invisible kingdom and begin to move things around. Move the furniture in there. Pour out love. Pour out money. Pour out service. Pour out companionship. Pour out friendship. Help somebody with their groceries. Some senior citizen that's really struggling. Donate clothes. Find a way to pour out, and your world will change because you've moved around the invisible furniture. This world is invisible. The effects of it become visible. The cause, the law, the creator, the activity, and the substance are all invisible. They are part of an invisible universe, and thanks be to God, that invisible universe is locked up within you. The kingdom, the invisible kingdom, which is the source of the visible universe, is within you. You release the forces that bless you, and in your ignorance you release the forces that curse you. But the kingdom of God, the whole of God's creation, is within you. This is an invisible world. There's something for you to meditate on. This is an invisible world. That's a good cone. The kingdom of God, the whole source and fount of this world, is within you. And it is this invisible world, so beautiful, so satisfying, and so complete, that appears as our outer fruitage. Okay, let's see, I lost my place here. Where am I? It appears as our outer fruitage, as food, as clothing, home, human companionships, marriage, or whatever it is that is needed. Then you never weary of it. You never tire of it. It is always joyous. You pass from glory to glory. Because in this mystical life, you no longer hold on to form. You find the companionship, you find them because you did not seek them in external forms, but release them from within your own being, and then they appeared outwardly as infinite, eternal, joyous, and satisfying forms. Okay, so when you go out here and you seek the, quote, right person, unquote, you find them eventually, and then you get together, and guess what? It doesn't work. Later on, there's a bumpy road because you sought them out here. It's a temporary fix. But when you go within, I was on my side of town, and I was saying, Father, I just can't seem to live with anybody. Nobody wants to be with me. And Madeline, my wife, was on the other side of town saying, Father, I can't pick them. When I pick them, they have problems, or they drink too much. So she said, you pick them. And I said, on my side of town, I'll just walk with you unless you want me to have somebody. I mean, unless you want me to be with somebody or someone to be with me. And within a week or two, we met. We'd been in the same town for 10 years and never laid eyes on each other. How is that even possible? My spiritual teacher was married to her teacher. And we never, ever saw each other until we prayed that prayer. We went within and we released any idea that we could find the right person. And we let go. And we let God. And then we found each other. And 32 years ago, we were married. It didn't take me long at all to realize that she was walking the same path I am, that she's practicing the same principles I am, that my master is her master, and that is the presence of Christ. And so, it only took us 4 weeks, and we got married. And now, 32 years later, here we are. The mystical life, oh, and we're still friends. I still love her, and she loves me. The mystical life is the life you live when you recognize that the invisible presence within you is the reality, and that it forms the joys of your outer experience. Okay? Now, we're running out of time, so I'll skip some here. You are living the monastic life when you are in the business world, even if you are surrounded by thousands of people, because within you, you are living as one with the Father. And that's what I did with that waitress. Father, how can I best be of service? While she was taking my order. And I said, gee, I'm glad you're here today. And she felt it. The monastic life is a life of self-completeness. You can lead the monastic life while living in the midst of a busy city. Yes, we talked about that. You do not have to live separate and apart from your family or your business. You do not have to be separate and apart from this world. The greatest, most satisfying, rewarding place in all of this world is within you. There you can tabernacle with the Spirit of God in you. And do not be surprised if in that temple, within yourself, you meet the saints and sages of all times. For these saints and sages are only spiritual consciousness at different levels. And so you already have that spiritual consciousness within you. Of your own self, you can bless nobody. You are of no value to anyone except in the measure of your contact with the Spirit within. And as you draw on the kingdom of God within you, it has a way of satisfying all those who come to you. It becomes meat and drink, opportunity, supply, home, happiness, and joy. Yes, Jesus sitting on the well, speaking to the lady. He said, if you knew who I am and you asked, I would have given you water springing up into you, in you, into everlasting life. That's what you have within you. You have that water. You have the meat the world knows not of, but you must go within and find it to share, experience, and release it. The interior world, the world within you, is the world of reality. You must have periods, day and night, when you go within to meet God. Oh, the first few times you go within, you may not meet Him. But with patience, however, eventually you will. Start with contemplation. There is probably a thick crust of self between you and the I that is within you. Be patient. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Ask, and it will be given to you. But go within and knock. Go within and ask. Father, reveal thyself. The Spirit of God is within you. But how are you going to meet it if you play around on the surface of the world with toys and baubles? Go within. Meet the Christ, which is the Spirit of God, individualized. The message of Jesus Christ has given it to the world in words so plain that you cannot miss it. You cannot miss it if you once catch a glimpse of the truth that He is revealing an interior kingdom, an interior world that is more real than the external one. So now you know. Well, he says, the Holy Grail is within me. The Word of God is within me. The Hebrew Torah, the Ten Commandments, the Bhagavad Gita, the Hebrew Testament, the Christian Testament, the Upanishads, even the Koran, all of these are within me. I can open myself to them and let them flow out. All right. Okay. You go within, I'm going to read this fast, okay? You go within and tabernacle with God, with the Christ, and with the saints and sages of all ages. And when you come out into the exterior world, their spirit will flow out through you to be the bread, the wine, the meat, the water to those who come in contact with you, in your family, your business, your social, and your political life. They may not know the source. They do not have to know it. That is your secret. You must learn to tabernacle with God within, to commune with Him at the center of your being. Meet Him there every day. And there, too, you can meet all the other people that you have known on the spiritual path. No man can take your riches from you. No man can take your peace. The world cannot find you when you are living inside, because it knows nothing of an interior world. And if it were told, it would only laugh in disbelief. The heart and soul of the infinite way is its mysticism and its monasticism, a way of life that has nothing to do with leaving the world on the outer plane. It has all to do with leaving the world while you go within and eat of that inner meat, drink of that inner water, tabernacle with the saints and sages, the Christ, and then come out and enjoy every person and everything that God's grace hangs on your tree of life, or your Christmas tree. All right, now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. I hope you get the gist of that, and that I've said it enough. You go within. You recognize that here within I am infinite supply. And you let it pour out. You ask it, how can I pour out that supply? Where can I give it? And then you begin to pour. You recognize I within you am the comforter. Where can I pour out love? Can I give a little to this dog that seems to be astray? Can I give a little? Well, we give it to our foster children that don't have a home. Can we give it to the group here? Can we give it to a church that we don't belong to, but we see that they're doing good work? Who are we grateful to? Can we pour out some of that gratitude? Can we do it in a letter if we don't have the pennies right now? Can we do it in pennies if we can't write a letter? Find a way to pour out that comforter, because you have infinite supply and an omnipresent comforter. That's what you are. And go within and recognize, I am everlasting life. How can I pour out life? In service to others is one way. I can help somebody carry something in the house or to their car. I can help somebody make something that they're working on. I can take cookies to the, well, we called it old folks' home, but I don't know what you call it, geriatric facility, I guess. You can make cookies and take them there and give them. There are lots of ways to pour out life. You can go within and you can pray for others that are... Well, we've had all kinds of opportunities to pray with people that had COVID, that were showing signs and symptoms of COVID over this last year and a half. And so there are ways that you can pour out life that way, by recognizing the life within you, that everlasting life, is also where they are appearing, because it's infinite, omnipresent, and everlasting. Here, Jesus says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You remember? And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Christ Jesus said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now the kingdom of heaven is within you," Christ Jesus says. And so Peter went within, and there he received the inner knowing of Christ, the Son of the living God. So after this was the sixth day, by the way. In the sixth day, they realized the Christ within. And this is something you must realize as you approach the Sabbath within you. You recognize that inner Christ. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Okay, he's on the seventh day, you are lifted. This is an inner experience. You're supposed to have this in the third degree. On the sixth day, you recognize within yourself Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the next day is the seventh day. After 6 days, this is now the seventh day within you. Christ lifts you. Your recognition of that Christ lifts you inside of yourself. It lifts you to a high state of consciousness. And bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Yes, and Peter, in his exuberance, wants to build 3 tabernacles, one for Moses and Elias and for Jesus. And while he's speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadows them. This is an inner experience, my friends. You recognize the Christ, that's the sixth day. And on the seventh day, your recognition of the Christ within lifts you to a high consciousness where you behold that Christ. and a voice out of the cloud which says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard that, they fell on their face and were afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except for Jesus. And as they came down from that consciousness, Jesus said, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Now, we're going to run over just a little. Paul says here, "We look not at the things which are seen," that's out here externally, "but at the things which are not seen." He's telling you to come within in the invisible, which are seen. Let's look at this again. "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, that's what I was going to say. When you go out seeking a companion out here with your best attempt, it's going to be temporary. But when you go within, you seek there how to be a companion, how to pour out companionship, then you draw to you the perfect companion. And Madeline and I met, and within 30 days we were married. I know that's crazy. We should have tried to get to know each other, right? Wrong. We were going by our insides, and our insides said, "Hey, this is it. He practices principles. Hey, look, she practices principles." And that was the first and utmost quality that we were looking for. Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Your inner supply, your inner comforter, your inner life, all of that is eternal. It's everlasting. It's eternal in the heavens. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." See, that's present within. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And finally, this is John. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." You see, Paul and John are in agreement that when you go within and you see no man after the flesh, you will have touched the reality. And that reality will appear and make all things new. Now we'll be silent for a few seconds here. If you take nothing else away, take the principle from this talk today and from this chapter in this book and in both these books. Recognize that you are in the sixth day. Within you is infinite supply. Pour it out. Within you is omnipresent comforter. Live it out. Within you is everlasting life. Live that life for others. And as you pour, and as you give, and as you live from within, you will see that your withinness is the Christ of the living God. And as you stand in that Christ, you will be lifted. Maybe not tonight or tomorrow, maybe next week, next month, or next year, but you will be lifted to a high state of consciousness where you will see your being with the face as bright as the sun, with a robe that is shining as a white light. You will see the transfiguration within your consciousness, and you will enter the seventh day. And the seventh day is where you rest, because you have found at last the Sabbath where I can rest forever. I never have to struggle out there again. I have my supply. I have my companionship. I have my life, my health. And these I pour out. Yes, there's that beautiful presence saying, I agree. These I pour out for any and all that come within range of my consciousness. And I am the living Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you. Thank you so much. And if I don't see you or talk to you before, if you're in the United States, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you're not in the United States, you can still have a nice Thanksgiving. You can have thanks and give out from that thanks. Okay? God bless you, one and all.